Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 129.
This is the
A Squad presented by Parse Rum. Every time you buy a bottle, a tree gets planted. So I mean, your choice.
I had a fan ask me that. They were sitting behind our bullpen. They said, "Dakota, are you going to plant a tree tonight?" I said, "Not tonight, but as soon as the season's over, you bet I am."
We have Dustin Garneau on our team who is retiring on Wednesday. Great career. And gave him a bottle of Parse.
Let's go.
Had it on the bus ride over here for him with him. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
As we said, Ian is not available tonight. He's an all-star. He can do what he wants. All good.
He let us know that today. He basically said, I'm better than you guys.
He did. Which, again, we're in the bus league. He's not. Whoa!
I'm nervous for this, though.
What is this? What is this?
I wouldn't let you guys go in alone.
Are you? Tom spilled the beans on what you texted him.
Tom,
I'm nervous because I don't know who it is.
Dakota fucked me. I said to Dakota, well, I'm going to tell you this, but then don't repeat it. And then he immediately, within 2 seconds.
Because I texted Scott because Ian said he wasn't going to be on. And I said, Scott's a perfect fill-in. So Scott's coming on at 10:45, and then he goes, well, Ian said he has a guest. And I was like, well, this might be mayhem, so we'll see.
No, Scott's not coming on. No.
Well, I'm going to text Scott.
Tom didn't understand what I was saying. This is what I was saying. I was saying, Tom, tell the guys that you, Tom, have a special guest. And then I was going to pop on.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good. I didn't do that.
And they were going to be like, anyway. Who is it? And then they were going to be shitting them. And then it was going to just be me. And then I was going to join for the episode, even though I said I wasn't going to be on. But I couldn't stay away. Couldn't stay away from you guys.
Glad you didn't hear the beginning, because Zach opened it by saying, we got the A squad. Well, sorry, you can do whatever he wants. And here he is, Zach.
No, I said, hey, we have the A squad. Ian's out. I said, hey, he's an all-star. He can take days off. It's all good. Because I took a day off. I wasn't an all-star. It's not right.
That's true. I'm just glad we have Ian to read the ads, because I was nervous about reading the ads more than anything.
Tom briefed that one, and I wasn't a fan. I didn't sign up for that.
How was your game today, guys?
The Mud Hens won in extras, 8-4.
How long did the extra inning game take?
Just 10, three. I think the game was a total of 3 hours, if that.
No, not 250, 240 something.
That's unbelievable. 10 innings?
Yep.
Wow.
And hey, speaking of the Mud Hens, we have the second best record in all of AAA. And guess who's going home Wednesday no matter what? The Mud Hens.
How's that possible?
Because we didn't win our division. And we even rattled off 12 straight.
It's just the winner of each division in the aisle and the winner of each division in the PCL, and that's all that goes.
Zach, you're the kind of guy that's like really pissed that you guys aren't playing more baseball, huh? I think, bless it.
So
me and Zach are the same.
Yeah, my thing is this. You don't play many quote-unquote meaningful games in AAA or in the minor leagues regardless. And when we were playing those games and we were like, hey, we're three out, like, that was the most fun we've had all year, obviously. And we won however many games in a row. We're 25 games over 500. It makes it just that much more fun. You know how it is going to the playoffs and winning. You know, it's like it's fun.
There's some people who and you guys have all played with them. When you're playing the minor leagues and you're two games back of the playoffs, people are going, God damn it, I hope we don't win games so that I can go the fuck home. There's plenty of guys you play with in the minor leagues who are like that.
You remember in 19, because you were there, didn't we clinch the first half?
Mm-mm.
Or not yet? The second half?
It was the second half. I was thinking about that today, actually.
We were good, but we weren't like
But that was fun, like playing those games and like knowing like, oh, like we need to win this game. Like how'd this team do tonight? Like that's fun. Like I know what you mean. There are definitely people that are like, fuck, like I just want to go home. Like I don't want to play in the playoffs. But I'm like, I'm with Zach. Like in the minors, you don't get that many games that actually matter if you win or lose.
So like we, again, you want to win every game you play because chances are that means you're playing well, obviously. Mm-hmm. So like the other day we were playing and I was kind of like, not on one, but I was like really into it. I was like, hey, let's fucking go. This is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And like Cody Clemens on our team is like, never seen this side of you before. And I was like, dude, I want to fucking win, man. This is fun.
And the playoffs this year are in Vegas, which Vegas, is just, it's like a week days, free trip to Vegas.
2 days in Vegas.
Week free trip. Or it's only 2 days?
Yeah, it's one game semifinal, one game final.
That really is great.
Yeah. So basically the minor leagues is better than the major leagues.
That's what I'm hearing. I had a survey.
That's a hot take.
Speaking of this, Zach, did you have to take that survey? We got a survey like a week ago.
Yeah.
About like the pitch clock. And I put like, it makes the game more enjoyable. Strongly agree. Makes the game faster. Strongly agree. You prefer the pitch clock. Strongly agree.
I was talking to an umpire. Pitch clock needs to happen, but it should not determine at bats.
20 and 15 is, I put in there, it said, like, do you have any like changes you'd make? I said, with nobody on base in the big leagues, a pitcher's going to need to step off. Like, you can't have no step offs with nobody on base. Like, that'll never happen. Ian had his hand up first.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Ian.
I mean, my question was about
comments. Put your mic next to your mouth.
Sorry.
First time. Here we go.
First time, long time. My question was about comments, if there was a section for comments and what comments you left. Was that the only comment that you left?
That's all I put, because with guys on base, you get two pickoffs, and on the third, you have to get them. I don't know if they're doing that in the big leagues.
They are.
That's plenty, because like if you pick off three times, like you just got, like, mix up your times better. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't need that many pickoffs.
Zach, did you put any comments?
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to take my time and do it.
It's the right thing to do. I've been thinking a lot about this as the games have gone on this September after the decision was made. It resets every batter, right? With the pickoff numbers.
Yes. But I'm not sure how it works if the guy steals second, if it resets. Like, do you
in
get
the big leagues,
ones?
It will reset.
Okay.
I have seen, especially in September, some late inning situation pinch runners. That's a pick situation. Guy goes pick. And then you're going, what's going to happen? Cause you really can't go pick anymore. Right? Like
you can't really go back to back. Cause
if you go back to back, you don't have any left.
You can use it,
but you better get him or it's a balk.
So
you're not going to get him.
I've never had a situation where like, I was like, uh-oh, I'm out of picks. Like now I got to be really cautious or mix up my times. But like, that's the thing. You could still hold,
but
pitch.
You're quick.
You can quick pitch.
You're quick to home.
I'm like a 1-1, which is very fast. But there's
a lot of people.
Yeah, with guys on, I'm super fast.
Wow.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think guys are going to get faster going to home, and I think instead of guys falling into the 1-5 to 1-7s, I think there's going to be a lot of guys who now become 1-2 to 1-4 guys, and they just. Because if you're a sub 1-3 guy, no one's running on you. I don't care.
You're not
unless you have a massive tip of like, or like you only pick on that. Like you have to have you have to have something that's really bad, or nobody's running on you sub 1-3.
And like I haven't sat here this year and been like, man, there's a lot of stolen bases. It's more of just like, hey. Guy can't pick over 7 times. Let's get the game going, which is fine. You know,
I still think I'm going to hold this opinion until it is not true.
Wait Maybe until you experience happen. How fast this is. You're going to love
No, it. I'm excited. I'm really am excited for the speed of the game, because we have generally not played like the world's longest games this year. We've played a lot of extra inning games. And we've had a few too many, not just us, but we've had games where there's been, because in the big leagues, there's too many mid-inning pitching changes because of the importance of the game. And because if there's a reliever that comes in and struggles, he's not just being left out there to get through it. There's a lot of mid-inning pitching changes, which slows the game down. We have generally played not that slow of games in the second half this year. I am excited for this pitch clock. I do think with the base running thing, I think because of the analytics in the big leagues, because of how detailed we are with tendencies, and because of how many people we have spending time on it, I think that there will be things that pitchers do, whether they pick once and they don't pick the second time, or they throw it 3 seconds, or if they wait until 5 seconds, they're going home. If they, you know, whatever it is, I think we're going to have a ton of tendencies that will show in the big leagues that will lead to more stolen bases. I also think in the big leagues, the bigger bases are going to have an impact on safe rate success stealing bases. But I could be proven wrong, but I will maintain this until I am.
I think it's tough, Dakota, because we don't have replay. Yes. So it's like it's all umpire's discretion. You can't go back and be like, holy fuck, like I was safe. You could swear on it. And then no matter what he says, you're out.
Good point.
I will say that was one of the questions on there, though, with the bigger bases. It 100% helps, like, safety. Like, the chance of you, like, stepping on the first baseman's ankle now is, like, massively different. Like, that, I think that's a great change because, like Zach said, it's not like, oh, they stole 10 bags on us today. Like, this is insane because the bases are – but, like, it will help with, like, close plays and stuff like that with replay, like Zach said. But it's not like all of a sudden there's going to be 20 bags a game.
No. But I do think – I think, you know what I think bigger bases are going to help with? Having room to slide into the base.
Yes.
Like, we had a play the other day. O'Neal Cruz has a tendency to put a body part in front of the base. He's not like a knee-down guy, mm-hmm. but like his foot – like he is stepping his foot in front of the base, right?
Yeah.
So it makes it hard for the runner to slide in. So you have like a runner swim moving – to get there instead of just sliding in. Old school baseball would say, if he's going to do that, you're step going feet it. First through it, and he won't do it anymore. New school baseball, maybe not so much, but I think that with the bigger bases, that is going to be avoided completely.
Yeah. And honestly, like bang, bang plays too at first. Like, I think that could be a big thing. Again, but this all comes back down to replay because we don't know the difference it's making in AAA. It's all umpire discretion, which is fine. It's nice that, you know, you're getting used to it. But I think MLB missed an opportunity this year to have all of these rules in spring training just to at least have guys not – it's not like – I was talking to an umpire the other day. It's going to be World War III again, like it was with sticky stuff for the first 2 weeks or the first month. Guys are going to be throwing shit everywhere, which is fine. I did it. Everybody did it. You get called out, it's stupid. But I think once again, I've said it 100 times. Once we get moving and kind of like play, we're going to look around and be like, hey guys, this is fucking great. But again, it's going to be World War III to start.
Between innings clock.
No, that's a commercial thing. They're not giving up any commercial time. Promise you that.
Can't do that.
Nope.
Okay.
Those might get longer.
I was going to say here's what might happen. Like...
game time gets shorter. Commercial time gets longer.
Of course.
I mean, if they have a 3-hour window to show the game, you think they're not going to try to suck all the commercial time out of that? Dakota, what are you eating? What are you going with?
Little trail mix.
Sick.
Zach rushed me. I'm really hungry.
I know. Nice. I didn't even eat. I got Qdoba waiting for me.
Sick. Question. Did you guys tell the people that this episode is brought to you by Parse Rum?
Ian, we did.
Ian.
Nice
Ian.
Job, guys.
What don't you understand about the A squad, Bubba? Brother, the A squad.
What?
It's what we do.
My question is, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about our friend? Good friend, Aaron Judge.
He's our friend. Friend by association.
We could get him on.
No,
100% we could get
Antony.
Because of the friends that we have, are such good friends with our good friend Judgy. We are in Judgy.
You mean
friends.
No, it's AJ. AJ.
It is AJ. That's what Frazier calls him.
AJ Nines.
Frazier always refers to him as AJ, and I'm like, everyone's like, who's that? And he's like,
that's
Aaron
weird.
Judge.
That's weird that you guys call him AJ in your friendship, because in my friendship, it's Judgy.
Child.
Would you like to talk about Aaron Judge, you really talked about our other acquaintance, not as good of a friend, except for I was his teammate one time, so maybe really good friend, Albert Pujols.
When were you teammates with Albert Pujols?
Also
this year,
also this one time in LA. This one time in LA, we were teammates one time.
Let's start with Judge.
He found
let's save Judge.
Wait, one time, really quick. I got a quick story about this one time that I was friends and teammates with my good friend who was my teammate, Albert Pujols. He fouled a ball off his back knee, and then he came to the dugout and he pulled his pants up. He showed me where he hit himself in the back knee, and that's the one time that we were good friends.
That's wild.
Best bud.
Guess who didn't do that? Us three.
Yeah. You want to start with Judgy?
No.
Cool. Oh, you want to start with my good friend, Albert?
Yes.
So everybody who's listening probably knows this. Albert Pujols, 700 homers. Tom, he came into the year with?
I didn't know I was supposed to have that number.
Good preparation. I believe it was 683.
I don't think that was fair at all. You just asked me to know a number that I had no way of knowing.
683?
Sure.
Tell me. Sounds good.
All
right. By the time we get a couple minutes into this, you'll have it. Pujols comes into the year. He needs a fair number of homers to get to 700. I don't know if there's
21 this year. 21 this year. 21 this year. So he was at 679.
I don't think there was that many people out there that believed that Albert Pujols was going to get to 700 home runs.
I saw a tweet from Talking Baseball, one of our accounts, when he got released last year by the Angels. I believe he was at 668 at the time. And the number of people in the comments saying he won't, and the question was, will he get to 700? It was a poll. I think it was like 76% of people voted no. And like the number one comment was, he won't even get to 669. And obviously he's done better than that since then.
I saw a tweet. It was somebody who sports show host, or I don't know what it was. Somebody in baseball, I think. And was like, honestly, hats off to him, because I thought there was absolutely no chance that what he just did, and he did it. It was just like, holy shit, Pujols is hot. And it's like, oh my God, Pujols is really hot. And then he just didn't stop. The whole second half has been absolutely bonkers by him.
That's what I want to know, how many he's hit in the second half alone. Cause I feel like he was like creeping towards it early on, but then he had like that month where it was like, wait a second, he might do it this year.
He's probably at 12 plus in the second half, but you know, hot take, home run derby locked him in.
Oh yeah.
That's what Soto said the same thing last year. He said he did it because he got his swing better.
Pujols 15 homers in the second half for Pujols.
Can we go back? We need to go back just to the sheer magnitude of that achievement. He's the fourth guy all time to hit 700. He's done it off the most pitchers in probably the toughest time to hit that's ever happened, and dealt with his time in Anaheim, coming back to St. Louis, doing it at the age of 42. It's exceptional. I mean, it really is unbelievable. And
42.
I think that what an unbelievable way for him to go out and like cap his career. No matter what the Cardinals do in the playoffs, I think they're a really good team and they could make a run for it. But no matter what they do, like super, super cool way for him to go out.
It's just crazy because we're not going to see somebody hit 700, right?
Aaron Judge, I heard of him.
I mean, yeah, right. But I mean, like, it's going to be not, we're not going to see somebody. I shouldn't say that.
I mean, Judge has to hit 50 for the next 6 years or something.
That's what I mean. I feel like Soto's the only one with the age. Like, he's still young as shit. Like, he's our best hope.
Right. And it's crazy because a lot of the guys who go to college, like, that's 3 years that you're not in pro ball when those guys in high school get drafted, you know? And then sometimes those guys get called up before you're even out of college. So they're starting at 19 or 20 years old in the big leagues, which kind of doesn't really happen anymore. It's usually at least 21, 22. And you lose at least 2 to 3 years if you go to college. And it's tough. And
it's insane that
guys aren't playing as long as they used to.
You got to stay healthy. You have to.
I mean, Pujols had to play 22 years to get there.
On average? 22
years. No one's playing 20. I promise. Juan Soto, Trout. All of our good friends on this podcast, okay? Good friends. We love them. Nobody's playing 22 again. Nobody's eclipsing 20 again.
you have to hit 35 a year for 20 years to get 700. That's insane. Like, so you have to start at the age of 21, stay healthy for 20 straight years and hit 35 a year. Obviously you can hit more in some years, whatever, for 20 years. When you're 41, you have to hit 30 more.
Think about this. Insane. Pujols hit 37 at age 21 in the show and needed one of the greatest second halves we've ever seen to even have a chance to get to 700. I mean, he's got a one dot in the second half after basically being a sub 700 OPS player for like a couple years in a row now, to the point that one team actively released him and another team basically only used him as a bench bat. And then the first half of this year, he had a below 700 OPS. And then it's incredible.
Here's a question. Let me just ask you a little question.
Is this the Athletic Greens question?
How much credit? No, it's not. That's coming soon. How much credit do Yachty and Wainwright get for this?
Well, think about going back and playing. Like, they got to be all like best friends, right? Like, that's got to reinvigorate them.
They got to be boys.
That's got to reinvigorate like your career to be back with the guys you like. Him and Yachty play together fucking forever, like coming up together.
They probably played together for the first
12 years of his career.
No, that's too many. 5, 7. I mean, Yachty's in year 16, maybe. Maybe 18. That seems like a lot. Maybe 16.
Yachty made his debut in 04. So, and Pujols left the Cardinals in what, 11, I believe?
So, yeah, Yachty's in 18. They played like 7 together. But regardless. So, this guy goes back, gets to play with these guys that he started his career with, gets to feel comfortable, gets to like, I mean, I think they deserve some serious credit for this reinvigoration.
100%. It's insane. After, like Tom said, after struggling for 2.5 years, like to just turn it on like that, baseball's not easy.
He seems like the type of guy that's been drinking a shit ton of Athletic Greens. Okay.
Yes.
Seems like he's been crushing them. I haven't asked him. He's a good friend of mine. I haven't asked him. But I would say that he was like, you know what? If I could just take some Athletic Greens, might be popping 15 homers in the second half. Don't you think that that's something that you would do if you were like, hey, you hit 15 in the second half, when you'd be like, maybe I should drink my Athletic Greens?
I would be taking shots of that between every inning.
Athletic Greens, best of the best products based on the latest science. I think that's what Albert heard. Constant product iterations and third-party testing recommended by professional athletes.
That's us.
Like us.
Nice.
I'm not saying Albert recommends it, but maybe he does. Allegedly, maybe. For every purchase,
come on and discuss.
And for every purchase, Athletic Greens donates to organizations helping to get nutritious food to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S. Athletic Greens going to give you free one-year supplement or supply. I'm going to say all the words wrong as we go. Free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. athleticgreens.com/compound, athleticgreens.com/compound. Take ownership over your health today.
My sister actually asked me about Athletic Greens the other day. She said she drinks some other garbage, and I said, well, I'm going to bring some Athletic Greens home. You're going to try it. We're going to switch you over, get you on the stuff.
You said AG1.
AG1 for life.
You know who else has been drinking their AG1?
Zach.
Judgy.
You mean AJ?
This guy. Talk about homers. 60. You know who never hit 60? Our good friend Albert. 60 pumps? We're going 60 pumps in a year of dead ball? A year of dead ball? We're playing dead ball out here. This guy's got 60.
60 pumps is like...
I don't want to hear that shit either about him playing at Yankee Stadium, because he's hitting better on the road than he is at home.
Ooh, I like that. Protect your boy.
That's a bad argument, because why wouldn't you say like, oh, like Jason Giambi could have hit 60. He played at Yankee Stadium. Like, clearly it's not easy, because no one's done it.
Nobody.
Forever.
Except for Maris and Baby Ruth.
I'm saying like in a long time.
Can I ask you I had a good question. And it's right, still Tom, half there.
Tom, did the Maris family go to Toronto? Did they show them on TV?
Tonight in Toronto, in the first row, was Aaron's mother and Roger Maris Jr. sitting together.
That's pretty cool.
When he got walked in the, he got intentionally walked in the 10th inning.
Intentionally walked. Grow up, Toronto.
I mean, it. I will say in Toronto's defense, I hate to have to defend Toronto. They're
fighting for a playoff spot.
No, I know. I'm kidding. They're playing.
Hey, yeah. But also, it did work. It also, they worked. They walked him with first and second, and Rizzo grounded out. So.
Hey, easy. Why are you shit-talking Riz?
Yeah, don't shit-talk Riz, man.
That's real friend of the
pod.
Right,
he had two hits in the game. He had a double. He texted me about how to handle Gosman, and he goes, "What do I do against Gosman?" And I go, "I think you should sit on the splitter. Like, you don't want to chase it, sit on it." And then he was like, "No, I'm attacking the heater." All right, he got two knocks off the heater, I'm pretty sure.
And he said, "Ian, I'm never listening to you again."
He definitely got a knock. He got a double off the heater in the first at bat. I don't know what he hit in the third at bat when he singled. Was it a splitter?
I believe it was a splitter. He took it the other way.
Ooh.
Maybe he went to it. We're going to talk about it. I sat on the splitter my third bet against him, and I saw it really well, and I walked.
My thing with splitters is weird. It's like they're very hard to throw in the zone and obviously really hard to take. But it's like at some point, if you see it, again, I haven't seen a Gosman splitter, but I just feel like the report has to be just take it if you see anything tumbling. Have to. I understand it's way easier said than done, but make him throw it in the zone.
Yeah, but sitting on it sometimes helps you take it.
No, I agree. But sometimes you also see pitches too way too well that you need to swing. You feel like you need to swing it.
Yes. Let's talk about Judge. Let me ask you a question about Judge. Is it more impressive that he's hit 60 total homers? Okay. Or is it more impressive that he has 20, I think Schwarber hit 41, so he has 19 more, but let's just say 20 more homers than the next closest person in the big leagues. What's more impressive, the total number or the fact that this year, like in a year with the dead balls, that he has that much more than the next person?
I think both.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that many more than the next best person, though, is like, that's insane. Like, how can I get why they would intentionally walk him? I wouldn't face that guy either. I'd say somebody else will beat us, but Aaron Judge.
I would say the 20, because that's something we haven't. I mean, granted, you haven't seen both in such a long time, but the fact that he's doing this in a year with the ball being dead, and as someone who was at the game Thursday, let me tell you, if you hit the ball with a 35 degree launch angle at 113 miles an hour, I would love for that one to leave the ballpark. Because the other 19 in the history of StatCast had all left the ballpark except for that one.
Zach, if you have 113 at 35, what are you doing?
I'm asking for an investigation of the baseball.
So was I.
How are they putting
a soft ball? Was it windy?
It was a little bit cold and like a little bit windy, but
windy in Yankee Stadium. There's no wind. It's too big. There's no wind. Stop, Tom. I played a windy field, okay? Played a field with no protection. It's really windy. Don't tell me Yankee Stadium is windy. I don't want to hear that bullshit, okay? It's trash. It's a dead ball. That's a soft ball. It's a ball that's made of mush, okay? And they wanted the balls that got in the batch, got out of the humidifier, sat in the moisture. I don't know what happened, but he hit a lead balloon out there, went out, and died. 113 at 35. Should go in every ballpark, in every condition, all the time.
Every day and twice on Sundays.
Twice on Sundays. Two times. It's crazy. Tom?
Yes.
Tom?
What's up?
You want to talk about the Yankees, Tom? How you feeling? Feeling good? Feeling good?
I don't even necessarily want to talk necessarily that much about the Yankees. They have won 7 in a row, so obviously that makes it easier to talk about them. But I got to go to two of the games this weekend. On Thursday, the aforementioned 113 to 35 game. And then I also got to go yesterday. And I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because it was one of the I said to somebody, it reminds you of why you love sports. You go to an event like that and you see the crowd and how locked in and engaged everyone was. And it just reminds you of you know, why you love baseball and why you love sports. It was just the coolest. I think Thursday in particular, a bunch of us from the office went, and for the second that ball was going out, it was really, really fucking cool until they caught it. But
was the crowd, when you were there, was the crowd locked in on every single second of the game? Or was it like when Judge was coming up, it was like,
yeah, no. So it was the second one. I mean, I would say the crowd was more locked. It was Yankees, Red Sox. And you know, it was the opportunity to clinch the division. So it was a very good crowd. Like I would say it was I've been to Yankee playoff games. That was about as good as you can get in a Yankee play, like a, not a World Series game, but like maybe a divisional round game. Like it was that kind of crowd. But then the whole atmosphere changed every time Judge came up. And as you mentioned, it was sort of that right before every pitch wherever you could just hear 47,000 people not making a sound. And that's one of the coolest things, you know, in sports, I think I've ever heard, is that noise of just everyone just kind of doing that before every pitch.
Was the 113 the one that the cameraman showed like 10 rows up and then it was fucking at the track?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
How sad were people when he would get walked? Is it just like they were really
sad? They probably just booed.
Good for the Triple Crown.
Yeah, well.
He's already got that part of it. He's the average part.
No, I know, but I'm saying his average is staying there.
Yeah, walk, and save average. Good point.
It was interesting. The crowd on Thursday in particular, because he got walked in four pitches on the first at bat, and none of them were close. And the crowd took that as like a sign of like, okay, they're not going to pitch him all night. And every ball after that, they just booed mercilessly to the point that it almost didn't make sense. Like there was a 1-2 pitch that he took and then they booed. And I was like, well, guys, if that was a strike, the at-bat's over. Like a ball is a good outcome here.
I love that though. Loyal to a fault.
Yes. They loved it to a fault. And can I just say, as I said, I think it was one of the coolest games I've ever gotten to go to, and getting to see something like that reminds you of baseball history. I know sometimes on the show, Ian, you need to issue an apology to Rogers Hornsby. We had a lot of people very angry at you for calling him Roger. You know,
it's his nickname. That was a friend of the pod.
Yeah.
On. Yeah. It's my guy, Raj.
But I will say, as a show that I think sometimes and fairly talks about the history of baseball and why, you know, some of the records aren't as impressive as they seem to be there. I thought about, you know, my grandfather's New York City police officer. He worked at Yankee Stadium often. Both my uncles got to meet Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. That's a story they've talked about their whole lives. My dad went to high school block from Yankee Stadium, and the coolest day of my life will always be the day that I got a call from the New York Yankees when I was at the winter meetings and had an interview set up and then ultimately got hired by them. So just to reflect on all of that Yankee fandom and to remind yourself of why you love sports and why you're a fan to go to in a game like that, it was really incredible. And it reminded me of why I love working at a place like John Boy, because you do think about, I went to journalism school and you kind of thought you can't be a fan. You try to kind of beat that fan out of you a little bit so you can be objective, so you can have opportunities like I'm having right now to be able to talk to you guys. And to work at a place like John Boy and to be a fan and to go to an event like that and just lose my mind every time Judge came up, it was the best. And it reminds me of why I love working at a company like this and how fortunate I am to have an opportunity to talk to guys like you. I was overwhelmed on Thursday leaving, thinking about how, I mean, I wish we'd saw it. Obviously that's my only regret. I went twice and I didn't get to see it, but man, it was, for most of the way, I didn't think that ball was getting out, the one to dead center. And then when he got onto the track and kept moving, I thought, oh shit, it's actually getting out, and kind of lost my mind for a second. And then when he caught it, it was obvious the come down, but man, just the coolest sporting event I've ever been to.
I'm going to segue from this. That was fantastic, Tom.
That was awesome.
That really was amazing.
That was sweet. What a way to enter.
And Scott, have you ever heard of a microphone over there, buddy?
I'm
going to
do a clean – Scott, shut up. I'm going to do a clean segue. Okay? This is what it's going to look like. We have a special guest. This is an 11 p.m. Central, midnight Eastern special guest. Right on the dot. Brought to you by Mugsy Jeans. If I know one guy that loves Mugsy Jeans, it's our special guest. Looks good in jeans. Maybe he doesn't have craziest behind you ever seen. But you know what?
Welcome on, when he puts Scotty. On those wow. Muggsies,
when he puts on those Mugsies, God damn it, does he look good. Scotty Efros. Scotty. Thanks for being on the pod, Scotty. If you would like a pair of John Boy, or sorry, Muggsy jeans that makes your ass look incredible, they're the most damn comfortable jeans around, you just go to MuggsyJeans.com. Nope, it's just Muggsy.com. You just go to Muggsy.com and you put discount code John Boy in. Muggsy.com, discount code John Boy. Okay, and you're going to get 10% off the jeans that make you look just as good as Scotty Effer. Scotty, thanks for joining, Scotty. Didn't mean to ricochet you there early. No, didn't mean it.
It's okay. First off, how's my mic volume? I don't have my travel mic with me, so, you know, it's hard.
It's not committed. You're not committed.
No, you know what? It's kind of a lack of commitment. I'm sure Muggsy wouldn't like the false advertisement of saying I have a good ass in their jeans, because you don't want to lie to the people. But
Scotty,
what? No, Scott.
Can you put those things on, Scotty? Scott, I want to segue from Tom's unbelievable talk there about the judge games and being a fan. And I want to ask you, when you got to be out in the bullpen for those games, when you're out there, do you lose kind of like perspective of the game and just go into like pure fan mode?
Tonight, yeah. Yes.
Just when you're out there, like every time he gets in a bat, he's at 60, he's going for 61. Do you just turn into like a little kid and you stand at the fence and you watch and you go like this, like I might have a chance here to witness history?
I feel like it's one, like Scott, like, you know how in the bullpen. No, I'm playing off your point. I'm accentuating your point. So it's like in the bullpen, like a lot of times, like you guys don't know what the bullpen's like, but we just fuck around half the time. But I feel like what you're asking, Ian, is when Judge comes up, everyone is like, all right, let's lock in on the baseball game.
Yes. So first off, Tom, that was very cool to kind of hear the tail end of that. My couple months here, I'm definitely learning, you know, how special the Yankees are to a lot of people. So that's very cool to hear that personal connection. And I know which ball you're talking about. I don't know how that one didn't get out. I think the metrics were, it gets out 100% of the time, except for that one, of course, but you know, it is what it is. Tonight was the first time I got to see it from the dugout, because he had that bat after my inning finished. I got to see it from the dugout and just like looking out, like this is my first time in Toronto. So I was kind of looking around already, but looking around at like, you know, new setting, just like cameras everywhere. People were like on their feet, like fans, you know, had their phone like on the road. It's pure. You're literally just like, yeah, it's exactly what you said. You just drop all of like your kind of emotions of the game for an at bat and just kind of enjoy, you know, what he's doing on the field. It's very cool. So like, yeah, every time he comes up, you kind of like, if we're inside in the bullpen, you kind of go outside and walk. We try to switch things up and stay inside, like kind of watch from inside for a moment there at home. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, super special what he's doing. And it, you know, it's a moment bigger than the game itself, I guess, each time he comes up for at least a fan's perspective. He's not treating it like that. He's still taking great at bats. Like, I mean, his first one tonight was a rocket to right field, just like starting the game. We scored in the first inning. So like, he's still taking great at bats and not trying to do too much, but you know, it's definitely an event from an outsider's perspective every time he walks to the plate.
So when Miggy was going for 500, he was, you could tell that he was like pressing a little bit. He just wanted to get it done with, like, just because it was taking a lot of obviously attention away from the team. And he, like, when he hit it, he's like, listen, I'm sorry, guys. Like, it took so long, kind of joking, but you could see that, excuse me, after he hit it, he was just like, oh, thank God it's over with. Do you think right now, like, I know you've mentioned it, like, Judge doesn't really seem any different, right?
Not at all. I mean, awesome. Like, and like the fact that he's like leading off too, it's like, especially on the road, like he's the first to bat of the game. Like he wants to hit it, like obviously, but like he wants to get on base. And he got on base and, you know, Riz hit a double. It's just like, he's still doing things to help like win ball games. And, you know, obviously we came up short tonight, but like there's absolutely no change in approach. I mean, like people keep asking, it's like, there's absolutely no change in approach. And like, yeah, like I said, obviously like we want him to do it. He'll get it, but it's just like, you know, he's still just such a winning ball player that it's like, you know, still handles his business like that.
Scotty has a question for us.
I want to be on here. I heard Ian might not be on here. I was kind of a late game time decision. Ian had an off day. I hope the off day was great. I have a Scotty F. Frost fan question of the week, brought to you by whoever. Muggsy.
Muggsy Jeans.
Yeah, by the New York Yankees.
By the New York Yankees. Do you want me to ask it now?
No free ads. No free ads, Yanks. Go ahead, Scott.
Do you want? Okay. All right. So, you know, end the season. Season's wind down. I thought we could do some season superlatives. Some quick one-hitters. I got three categories, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to start
this
with...
This is so Scott.
We're going to start... I thought of it on the bus. I'm like, oh, what's a good one? And I looked over at Rizzo. I'm like, I think this is a good category right here. So, funniest teammate of the year.
Funniest are you saying this because Rizzo's your funniest teammate of the year?
He might be my, I think, funniest Yankee teammate. I don't know. We got a hilarious clubhouse here. I think with the Cubs, it was probably Wade. Definitely Wade.
And Ian, I think with agree?
Yanks, I think with the Yanks, it might be Riz.
Is this a teammate to laugh at or laugh with?
The funniest what?
That's a big difference.
Ian's 100% funniest teammate laughing at is definitely me because that's all you did.
Do both count? Either or?
Go ahead. Whatever in your mind, the funniest teammate of the year. If you're going to put it on a trophy.
Zach, Dakota, do you have one?
Zach, you go first.
I would say Jamie Westbrook or Brandon Davis here in Toledo.
Hilarious.
I'm trying to think.
Are you belittling me because I'm not?
No, I'm asking you. Why are they funny? Like, what's going on?
Because they feed off each other. They're good friends. They're roommates at home. We have a group message called Golf Chop. That's all it is. Every day they think they're a new golfer. It's like, hey, I'm a Morikawa guy. Hey, I'm a Fleetwood guy. That's what it is every single day. Jamie Westbrook calls himself the barrel man. And I could not tell you the last time I've called him anything other than barrel. Like, that's his name. Our manager, when he's up to the plate, come on, barrel. Come on.
Zach is Jamie Westbrook's golf instructor.
Yeah. We were in Columbus this year and he hits a homer, comes out and some fan was screaming at him. And this is before, again, he's been there for like a month maybe. Comes up, the fans yelling, whatever, and he hits a homer and he comes up. Never has said this before. He goes, I'm the barrel man. Me. I am the barrel man. And we were just like, what the fuck did he just say? So since that day, it was just like, that's the barrel man. That's barrel. Always on the barrel.
I think mine would be, it's similar to Zach's, Teddy and Huddy, Brian Hudson. They play off each other really well. Me and Teddy basically just make fun of Huddy all day. We just call him dumb. We just call him big, stupid idiot, you know, just the normal names. And we just kind of make fun of him the whole day. And he takes it really well. And it's just, and we've known each other for 6 years and it's just the same jokes we've always made.
I love Huddy. I love Teddy too. That is a great combo.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that my funniest teammate is Wade Miley. Wade Miley is hilarious, not just because he will say funny things and funny things to other people. And he's very good at like poking fun at people in a just hilarious way and not a mean way. And he has a hilarious country accent draw, but also like he will say some shit that is so off the wall that he is very funny to laugh at. Very funny to laugh at. And
I noticed that in the few games he rehabbed with us. He was the same exact way.
I mean, it's unbelievable. When he pitches, that day is a hilarious day. I mean, way in on Wade Miley.
Big fan.
Scott, would you say your funniest teammate? You can split it up both teams. You don't have to like pick if you don't
want. Well, I think Wade and I don't know, Rizzo's hilarious, as you know, Ian. Like he's always got something. Donaldson's very funny as well. I don't know. We have a very funny clubhouse here. But Wade, I think, is my runaway funniest teammate in Chicago. All right. Category number two. What was it? Favorite road town of the year.
Ooh,
Columbus, not even close.
Columbus,
not even close.
My mom's going to listen to this episode. My mom's going to hear this and she's going to go, I guarantee this is what's going to happen. My mom's listening right now and she knows it's going to happen. She's gonna
live.
Yep, it's live. Yep, she's going to go.
First time ever, Scott.
She's going to go, the boy said Columbus. you should move back to Columbus. You should come buy a house next to me in Columbus. That's what's going to happen.
Columbus,
just
is
because you guys said it was your favorite road town.
Columbus is great.
I love it.
Columbus is great.
It's a
great
short town. North, short great north, town. Unbelievable street. So many good sandwich shops. Oh, what a spot!
Do you guys go to
Indy?
No, I'm blanking on it. What is it? It's not Glenview. Is Glenview?
No. Dublin?
No, it's the other way. It's closer to campus. We're getting off track. What was your favorite?
High Street? What are we talking about?
High Street. It's Short North. Short North's the name of the neighborhood.
The neighborhood. Town Hall, that whole area.
Yeah.
Favorite road city.
I don't know. Toronto is very cool. I was gonna say
Toronto too.
Roof open, roof closed. Roof open, roof closed today.
It was closed tonight. I think there was a chance of rain.
Opens way cool.
No way.
I might go. I don't know. I'm torn. I think I might go San Diego though. It was unbelievable. Like the weather is like laugh out loud. It's not real. It's not real weather. It's perfect every single day. We went there. When did we go there? May.
Yeah.
May. It was May or money. June. Like we went to see the Navy SEALs facility there. Rode along the beach. It was just absolutely gorgeous. Good. The poor of a lady there, Ian.
Oh, the poor of a cart lady. She's unbelievable. She crushed it. She sits in the shade. There's this lady that does pour over coffee. Okay. And she sits in the shade and it's freezing cold in the morning in the shade. And she just wears it with a hoodie on and makes pour over coffee in her cart. She's unbelievable. I would say that my two this year, I'm a sneaky big Washington, D.C. fan.
Yes.
Way into D.C.
Love D.C.
Love D.C.
Love going there.
Did you get to play Scott golf Frost there. Tips?
Didn't get to play golf there this year, but got to play golf in Baltimore. So I kind of count those the same.
You played golf in Baltimore.
We had a great time. But I would say my New York trip this year, I had a very special New York trip when we played the Yankees. I got to see my good friend Anthony. I got to play golf one day. I got to see my good friend Tom. Scott and I went to John Boy. I got to see Sal. It was a really, really awesome trip when we did New York to play the Yanks. Julie was there. So
I was going to say that New York trip,
best trip of the year.
Yeah. San Diego or the New York. Cause we had that off day too before. So you could like kind of go around town, go to the park. Me and Bernie went to dinner.
Sick dinner with Jay Hay at Carbone. That was a banger of a trip.
Yeah, it was a good one. Final category, and then I'll hop off or stay on. We'll get there. Favorite off day, kind of alluding to that earlier. Favorite off day of the year.
I don't know.
Mine was in Columbus. We had a Saturday day game because Ohio State was playing Notre Dame that day. It wasn't technically an off day then, but we played a noon game. So then we had all Saturday night to do whatever we wanted. And it was like the first real week of college football. So we all, like 12 of us, went to like a bar and just watched football all night. It was fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
I don't know if I have one. Every off day was kind of the same. Just play golf.
Did you play anywhere special this year, Zach?
Ooh, I did play TPC Sawgrass. That was sick too.
I was going to say, I thought that was going to be your number one.
That was pretty cool.
No, didn't.
Good answer, Zach. Ian, over to you. Best off day when you got engaged.
I'm racking my brain. I had a really
you
got nice
to answer
day,
correctly, man. Or you might already have a divorce.
Was that an off day?
Didn't you propose?
Wasn't an off day. Are you talking about me or talking about Scott? Who's talking?
You. Scott's married.
I got engaged after a game, not on an off day.
It was a heading into an off day, I think.
Yep.
Correct. You were in Milwaukee.
We're in Milwaukee.
I remember the story.
She also will not listen to this episode, so I can say whatever I want.
Maybe she will. Maybe this is the time she tunes in.
I don't think she's going
to
hear this.
Never, I'm going to text her and tell her to listen in.
Never 128 in a row.
128 in a row. She's undefeated. Yeah. Scott, do you have one?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. Honestly, that Baltimore off day, we went to play at Baltimore Country Club, was great.
It was really nice.
It, The New York off day was great. I liked the one, honestly, I think I liked the one where in Chicago, actually, I don't know if it was an off day. It might have been a day game where we went to me, you, and Nico, and our lady friends went to dinner together. No, that was an off day. That was an off day.
That was a wonderful day.
Yeah, that was a fun night. We went to dinner together, had a nice dinner, kind of chopped up for, we were there for a long time.
That was a show dinner. That was a long day.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good one. That was a good day. I'll probably go with that.
That was a really good one. You know what? I had some good off days this year. I had a lot of good off days. I had a really cool one in San Fran. I hadn't played golf with my brother all year, and I got to play golf with my brother in San Francisco at a really cool course. And that was really, really nice. I got to do that. Probably my best of the year, but I had a lot of great, I had a really good one today. I had a lot of great off days this year.
Is there such a thing as a bad off?
If you know what, Tom, if that day I saw you was an off day, hey man, that might have been it. But we played a game that day, so it didn't count. Shoot. Bless it.
We played almost two games that day.
Yeah. Is that it? That's from your
superlatives? Yeah.
Hey, Scott, thank you for those superlatives brought to you by Mugsy Jeans that you wear and look so good in.
I do.
Scott, I had a question for you before you started the superlative thing, which I loved. Two things. First thing, how's it feel to be back?
Feels great.
You're slanging it.
Good?
Were you nervous your first one back? Was it kind of like I guess not nervous, but you know what I mean? Just like a little extra nerves. Like, oh, I haven't done this in a while. Like, let's see what it's like again.
Honestly, like, no, I felt like really good. Like, I was just so happy to be back out there. First time in the IL. It's just like, I didn't know like how to kind of react when I was on the IL. So I thought it was just happy to be back out there. And I was really trying to enjoy it as much as I could. So now yes, obviously, like, you know, first time back out there, you want to see what everything's doing and, you know, make sure you're getting out throwing strikes. But I felt pretty comfortable, and, you know, I was happy to kind of get out of the way. And obviously it was a safe situation. So, you know, end the ball game there and, you know, that was our sixth or seventh win in a row. So kind of good to come back, keep the train rolling.
I was following along on the MLB app. We didn't have MLB Network in our TV in Omaha. So I followed along, and you made me a little nervous, but I never had doubt.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I have a lot of questions for you. You ready?
Okay.
First thing's a statement. Your hair looks fucking great. I want you to know that you are having a great hair day.
That is.
Don't lie to me.
That's amazing.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
You
have nice hair right now.
You taking some fluff pills right now? What's going on?
I'm telling you.
Wow. Nice hair. Hey, Ian, right back at you. It looks amazing. I like that sweatshirt.
Thank you. Thanks.
Five Iron Golf.
Ever heard of it? Five Iron Golf. There's four in New York.
Get to your question.
My question is, what was it like? This is a serious question. What was it like making a rehab start in the minor leagues? What was it like going back to the minor leagues, making a rehab start? Was that a weird experience? Was it kind of a sneaky cool experience because you're going down there and you know you're going back to the show? And did you buy spread?
I got whacked around. It was cool. And yes, I did buy a spread.
Pretty cool though.
It was cool. I didn't really know anybody down there, so it was a chance to meet a lot of other guys in the organization. I actually knew one of the catchers who is my catcher in the bullpen. So, or in the offseason, he catches my bullpen's great dude, Max McDowell. Shout out Max McDowell. But I did buy spread. It's Pizza Sunday. When they win series in Scranton, they have Pizza Sundays, pizza parties. So they won the series. But I felt good to get back out there. My stuff was fine, but I got hit very hard.
But isn't that cool to get hit really hard? But you know, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Didn't we say that? We said cool. It's like a privilege to rehab down there.
Someone said you're not a true big leaguer until you give up runs at a rehab outing. I think
it doesn't fucking matter.
Someone said that to me. I'm like, that's good to know.
As you press the panic button quicker than anybody's ever.
Oh God! I'm like, oh my God! They were on everything.
Well, I saw that, and I was like, "See, Scott, triple A is not so easy. The show might be easier."
Well, like I was like really happy I was throwing strikes because I'm like, I don't want to come to this rehab and be like and spray it everywhere. But like, man, they were fucking on it. They were on.
You felt good. You felt good. Yeah, though. Felt that's good.
What matters. Yeah, that was fine. Yeah, it was fine. My parents were there, so it was nice.
Oh,
so you gave up runs in front of your parents. That's nice.
I didn't mean to.
I played with Max McDowell back in the high school days?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Max is great. He's a really good catcher.
Here's another question. How much do you feel at this point in the season? We're 150 games in, probably more than that, 152. How much do you feel like you've learned in your first full big league season? Like the way that you're talking right now, is so much more like calm, cool, relaxed. You've been through a lot this year. You've pitched in a lot of games. You've been in multiple teams. You've been in multiple cities. You've
big seen games
a lot
too.
Of shit, and you played with a lot of players.
Big game.
How much do you feel like you've learned in these 150 games? But like compared to the rest of your career, but just in general.
It's like if I smashed my high school, college, and then minor league professional careers together into one spring and summer, like that's how much I've learned this year. I don't even know if that makes sense.
It does
a lot.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I feel like completely different, like for the better, like completely different player mindset wise right now compared to September 27th. You guys got to go to bed. September 27th of 2021, you know, last year coming up, and obviously it was a different situation. I got called for the first time, so you want to make a good impression. But, you know, after making the team in camp this year, it's like, I just want to learn what it takes to be a big league reliever, you know, for a full season. And I think, like you said, just being like, obviously in a lot of different roles in Chicago, but then getting traded on top of it, you know, kind of had to learn on the fly. So, yeah, definitely feel like it's been a huge learning experience. I followed a lot of really, really good relievers along the way this year. I've got a lot of really, really cool opportunities to talk pitching with some of the best pitchers. I mean, just having, you know, Garrett Cole in your clubhouse or, you know, David Robertson, like guys who have, you know, done some really, really cool things in their careers, just being able to talk shop with them and, you know, kind of learn from what they do is, you know, is not something I thought I would be doing, you know, 3-4 years ago at this point. So pretty special year for sure. And I want to, you know, keep going. Going to be in the playoffs. That's going to be another
learning experience.
Entire learning experience that I have no idea about yet. So very excited for that as well.
I just want to say that it's very impressive how much you've learned and how like different that you're talking now than you were at the end of last year or at the beginning of this year. And it's super, super impressive. And it's a testament to the way that you go about your business and that you ask questions and that you care to learn, because not everybody, I know that it seems instinctual to you, but not everybody is like that. And it takes a special type of individual to want to learn that much. And I just want to say that I'm very impressed and I'm proud of you.
Ian is trying so hard to weasel his way ahead of me and Zach as your friend. Like he is just really fluffing.
That was just a genuine. About a former teammate of mine.
Scott, I think you're the same guy. Scott, I loved you in the minors. Ian only likes you in the majors. Ian only likes you in the majors. I liked minor league Scott.
I got guys that I may never play with again downstairs waiting to say bye. And this is a Scott Efros fluff session, huh? I love it. No, the thing is though, Dakota. You joking, like I loved you the whole time. But it's like he's acted the same, I guess. Not saying that you would change, but like what Ian said, it's been a tough year. Not tough, but like learning experience wise, it's fucking hard. You're under you went from big market team to the biggest market team, and it's fucking hard. And you know, I mean, we all give you kudos. Obviously, we all joke like, why the fuck isn't Scott playing? But it's true, you know, and like. You've earned those situations to throw in. And I don't think that comes from just being like, hey, I'm going to go through the motions. I'm a big leaguer. It's like what Hap said. It's like learning and asking those questions, talking those ways. I think that all plays a huge part in it from the outside looking in.
I mean, I appreciate that. That's very nice to hear. And just
Don't expect it again.
To be that, Zach, that was sweet. You said something nice to me on my wedding day, and I think that was like the second nice thing you just said. So
I did?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably drunk.
Good to know.
Maybe it was the Hurston, I don't know. No, I really appreciate that. And obviously having you guys to bounce, you know, just to have conversations throughout the years made it a lot better. And to Ian's, you know, I think credit, I think one of the things that I've learned a lot this year is to how to follow guys who take care of their routine this year. And just seeing Ian, you know, go through his routine every day. Obviously I'm not a position player. I don't live in that world, but seeing how, you know, routine oriented he is, coming to the field, take care of his business, you know, and it turned into an all-star game, and seeing guys like, you know, honestly, Daniel Norris, like watching him go through his routine, like guy has 7 years in the big leagues, like watching every day how hard he works, and, you know, just following guys that, like, you know, maybe you wouldn't think of, that kind of like Nico, honestly, like what he's doing this year is super special. So I think I've benefited from learning from, you know, guys who have had success in the big leagues and, you know, what they do to make, I mean, honestly, last year, Trace Thompson, I mean, we talked about him before, but probably the most dedicated person I've seen, like as detail oriented as possible. And like, just him getting an opportunity this year is part of
what. So it's, we have a saying like, yeah, no, speaking of Trace, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like, we always joke, like, to stay in the fight and keep pushing. And like, that is just a perfect example of somebody who stays in every fight, where it's like, he's going to be ARB eligible this first year, but we were grinding with him in Toledo this year. You know, it's sick.
It's one of my favorite things from this season, honestly. Like, personal achievements aside, like watching him get the opportunity to go to LA and absolutely run with it and be at home, you know, going back to the team that, you know, was a big part of his life earlier in his career is awesome. Getting to see his brother win an NBA title like that, like,
awesome. It's cool. Yeah.
So like, just following guys like him, like, you know, it makes it easy to kind of, you know, learn if you're paying attention. I think the biggest thing I've kind of learned is just like, look at guys who have success up here. Look at Trace, look at, you know, look at Ian, look at, you know, David Robertson, like guys who have had success up here. And, you know, you can kind of, if you follow good people, I guess it kind of takes you, you know, in a good direction. So,
and stay in the fight.
Cause that's called a reverse fluff. You fluff the guy to get a fluff back. Okay. That's a genius move. It's a genius move. I fluff Scott.
You're an all-star. You're an all-star. You don't need a fluff.
Fluff me.
The well-played card.
And then I'm going to take that right into the Sloan screen time. I have a hilariously low screen time today. If anybody beats it, I would be shocked.
436.
I have
338.
Fuck.
Hang on. Mine's 46 seconds. The first time I've looked at my phone today.
It's the new day.
Mine was also, what's today?
Today's Tuesday. When's yours, your is Monday? Tuesday. It's, oh, Monday.
Mine's 9 hours, 10 minutes. Well, Scott,
that a baby.
Oh, mine was bad.
Scott.
6 hours, 16 minutes. Because
Scott,
we didn't get into like three.
Yeah, yeah.
Why was that my phone so much?
Yeah, I don't want your excuse. No.
I love you guys. I love fluffing everybody.
I have mine's 2:46. Before you leave, 2:46.
How?
Because the course I was at was phones in the car.
What'd you shoot?
You know, really windy day. I don't want to preface it. I hit the ball well, and I still shot 77. But I felt like I really struck it.
Shut up. Tough course. Zach, leave. Just go. I went on private. I shot a 77.
That's impressive.
Like, I thought you were gonna say like 84.
Me too. Wow.
I was striking it. I putted well. I was 41 on the front, 1/36 on the back, 77.
How good is that? Like, to making the turn when you're shitty, you're like, fucking son of a bitch. And then you stay in the fight.
Stayed in the fight.
The 1/ on the fucking back. Stay in the fight.
I went. Boom! I started the day double, and it got a lot better from there. It was a really fun course. That if you were here, you would have been on the invite list there, and you would have loved it.
Yeah, well, us three will go fuck ourselves.
He didn't invite JY. Which is bullshit.
I did invite JY. I told JY, no. That's bullshit. I invited JY. From Iowa.
I texted him after our last episode.
I said, you're rich now. Ship sticks them in from Iowa and then take them back with you because he's doing this road trip or whatever. And he said, ha, ha, and then didn't do it. I was serious. I was going to invite him.
You would. I heard he's a good player. He's a good player.
It would have been super show is if you would have covered his ship sticks to play.
He's got the money for ship sticks. It's like $60. JY's making fucking big league money now.
I mean, he didn't get a check yet.
True. We get paid this Friday. Yeah, he might not have gotten it yet.
I would have covered his ship sticks. He didn't seem like he was into it. He wasn't into it.
No. He was probably nervous.
He wasn't like,
he'll be all right.
He wasn't like, yeah, I would, but
he told me his call up story the day he got to New York, and it's awesome. Too long to go into detail, but awesome.
Yeah.
Love Jared. That's also
he's the nicest guy because he got called up. And like it was right as we were starting a game, and he texted me like 2 hours later and said like, sorry, I didn't give you like a bigger hug goodbye. Like I was in such a rush. And I was like, shut up. Like, what do you mean? Like you had to get out of here. Like you were fired up.
Can I say one thing about Jared Young?
Please.
Jared Young.
If it's good.
Is a genuinely very nice human. He's nice. He's just a genuinely nice person.
The best. Yes.
This dude gets so excited for all the other guys on the team when they do something good. It is the most, it's a beautiful thing to watch. When you watch his genuine excitement for all the other players on the team when they do something good, it doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter how well he knows them, he is genuinely so excited, and that's a really cool thing.
Well, that's what he does on the golf course, because I always ride with him in the same cart. If I hit a good shot, like he's happier than I am. He's fired up.
He's an elite cart partner.
Unbelievable.
Elite cart partner.
I'm actually, I'm high on Jared Young, but now I'm down on Jared Young because I wish he would have got his clubs here, because he would have had an absolutely epic time at the place we played today. Epic.
Oh, yeah. And he's good, too. He's like a 8, 7 or 8.
Yeah, but he missed out, so now I'm down on him. And I'm going to tell him tomorrow.
Next year.
That's, guys, Sloan screen time. Just so everybody remembers, 246 for me, low screen time. I win. Sloan flushers, if you need to flush some stuff, call Sloan Valve.
Sloan flushers in Toronto.
Toronto. Epic Sloan flushers. Bathroom. Very far away from the dugout.
There's one near the bullpen, though.
In the dugout, you have to go all the way back into the clubhouse.
Yeah. It's horrible. But there's one near the bullpen. And I actually went in there today. And I'm like, I didn't even know it was going to be on.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Well, I believe that he did that. That's the thing.
I swear to God, I did.
I bet by himself, he literally went, oh.
I didn't have to, at the beginning of this episode, I didn't have to announce the episode, so I have no clue what number it is.
129.
So,
129. It's episode 129, Compound Podcast, brought to you by Parse Rum. I love Parse. You love Parse.
Rum.
See you next week.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.